Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to come from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we're going to primarily concentrate on verse 14. And the thought for today's message is just one simple word: grace. Now, grace is something that we often take for granted. It's something that we often overlook, but if it were not for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would all be doomed for a devil's hell, and we would have no hope. For it's in His grace alone that He has shown to us is where it should make us want to shout. It should make us very thankful. It should make us incredibly grateful to Him in the price that He paid. He was our substitute. He shed His blood. He died as a criminal. He died that death that both you and I deserved. And on that third day, He arose to complete the plan of salvation. Again, grace is something we often take for granted, but it's the very foundation of our faith. And as we look in John chapter 1, verse 14, and it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now it says, "And the Word was made flesh." Well, what or who was or is the Word? Well, we just simply have to look at the very first verse in John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And it says in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh." So what does that mean? God came to us in the form of flesh, in the likeness of sinful man. He came to us. Although He came to us in the likeness of sinful man, He was God. He had no sin within Him, but He took on flesh. He bore all the temptations. He bore all the sadness, all the things that man endures throughout their life. So we have an intercessor with the Father who has borne our infirmities. He knows what we struggle with. He knows all these things, and He can have compassion on each and every one of us. Now let's think about this. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Now let's think about this. Here's the only begotten Son of God sitting in heaven on the right hand, on the throne of God, at the right hand of the Father, but yet He comes to sinful, hopeless man. He comes and not just comes to us, but He comes and dwells among us. He come to us because we could not go to Him. And friends, if that is not the definition of grace, I don't know what is. We could not go to God. We could not satisfy God. We could not satisfy His law. For no man has lived a life alone except for the Lord Jesus Christ without sin. No man can satisfy the law of God. No man can satisfy the requirements of God. But sin came into this world by man, being Adam, and then the law of God was satisfied through a man, the man being the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to us and did for you and I what you and I could not do for ourselves. We couldn't satisfy God's law, but Jesus, in the form of flesh, lived a sinless life. He said, "I came not to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it." He satisfied God's law. He lived a sinless life. He angered but sinned not. How easy is that to do for us? We can't do that. But Jesus was angry and sinned not, because he did not have a sin nature. But yet he came, he dwelled among us. God in the form of flesh came and dwelt among us. He came, he satisfied God the Father's requirements. He satisfied God's law, and he was that unblemished Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for me. He shed his blood for you. He died that death that you and I deserved. He satisfied God's plan and completed the plan of salvation for you and I. And then it goes on, and it says, and we beheld his glory. Now let's think about this. And what John's referring to here, what he's mainly referring to here, is the Mount of Transfiguration. Now it's a little more broad. His glory is more broad than that. But what he's really referring to here is the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, and we beheld his glory. Now, let's think about what he's really saying. Did they just take a peek at his glory and then turn away? Did they just recognize it and then turn away? No. They beheld it. They pondered on it. They studied on it. They meditated on it. And if we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we read verses 16 through 18, it says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, where there came such a voice of him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now let's think about what John's saying here. Is saying here, and we beheld his glory. Their focus was on him. Their attention was on him. Their thoughts was on him. And I have to ask myself, and you have to ask yourself, do we behold his glory? And you might say, well, Joel, I wasn't present there on the Mount of Transfiguration. No, you wasn't, and no, I wasn't. But that does not stop us from beholding his glory. Oftentimes, we just want to take a glimpse at his glory. We want to take a peek at his glory, but yet we want to continue living the life that we want to live rather than being fully and completely surrendered to him. Yes, we can behold his glory by meditating on his word, by concentrating on his word, by focusing our lives on his word, and letting his word sink into our hearts and our minds and our souls. Because, friends, I'm here to guarantee you that every one of us have things of this world, things that Satan has planted into our hearts and our minds that have sunk so deep within our being, so deep within our soul, that it is deeper rooted than the Word of God is in our life. And when we've done when we've done that, and we've allowed things of this world and things of Satan to take deeper root into our hearts and our minds than the Word of God, then yes, we have snares in our life. We have things that hinder us. We have things that hold us back. So, friends, we need to learn to behold his glory by getting in his word, by studying his word, by digging into his word and letting it sink deeper and deeper and deeper into our hearts and our minds so that it can get in there and strengthen that firm foundation that was established in us when we were saved. Otherwise, the things of this world will defeat us and hinder us. And he says, and we beheld his glory. But John goes on to describe what kind of glory that is. It says, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, Peter speaks of it in the scripture that I just read about hearing that voice of this is my Son of whom I am well pleased. Peter speaks of that voice, hearing that voice on the mount. And see, they were convinced that, yes, this is the Christ. This is the only begotten of the Father. This is His glory. But yet they didn't fully grasp the fact that He had to go to a cross. He had to be rejected of His very own. He had to die as a criminal before He could experience that glory of His Father. But through His obedience, He died for our sins. He suffered. He bled. But on that third day, He arose and became victorious and pleased the Father and enjoyed the Father's glory. But then John goes on to describe Jesus even more. He says, "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And He describes Him in the last phrase of the verse, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. There was not any room for anything else. For Jesus was completely filled with grace and truth. Now, we think about when we're around someone that's very graceful. That's incredible. Can you imagine being when Jesus walked this earth and you was in His company and you sensed the grace that was within Him? He didn't come to condemn us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But see, we can also pick up on other people that we know are not transparent, that we know doesn't come forth, that we know is not completely truthful in everything we did. But see, the witness of the Spirit that Peter, James, and John got from Jesus was that He was full of grace and full of truth. And you think about the men, the 12 men that Jesus called. They were men that mankind was not going to call. Mankind was not going to choose these ruffians, these fishermen, these people that didn't have the greatest reputation. But see, Jesus was so full of grace. He was willing to take a man like Peter that constantly stuck his foot in his mouth, said the wrong thing, and through the grace that Jesus was completely full of, through His grace, worked and mended, and through trial and fire, reformed Peter into the man that Jesus wanted him to. And that work was only by the grace of God. And friends, Jesus can do the same thing with us. He can take our rough edges. He can put us through the fire and through that grace. And during that fire, He will be beside us. He will be walking with us. He will be holding our hand. He will take us through that fire. And through His grace, He will refine us. And through His truth, He will refine us into that servant that He wants us to be. And He will place us where He wants us to be. But it's only by His grace and His truth. And we think about this word truth. Up until Jesus, they had been living by the law. The law did nothing but condemn. There was no grace whatsoever in the law. It was cut and dry. You had either sinned or you had not. And it's shown us where we come short, where we failed, and it seemed as if there was no escape. But then Jesus comes on the scene, and He comes and He satisfies the law of God, and He becomes our substitute. And the blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary covered my sins and covers your sins. And that truth that He bore witness to mankind, that light that came into the world, that this darkness of this world knew not and rejected Him, that is the cornerstone that the leaders of Israel rejected, but He became the head of the corner. But without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. We have nothing to boast of but the grace that He has shown us in our life. And that's today's message. I hope something has been said that's a help to you. Until next week, this is Joel Martin.